Why does The Lord of the Rings have so many endings? It's a criticism you often hear of the Return of the King film, but there are even more in the book. So, what was Tolkien up to? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the best in fantasy books and TV shows. The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. Why does The Lord of the Rings have so many endings? It's a criticism you hear a lot, and basically the argument goes that there are many different points that the story could have ended before it did, so the ending drags out a lot. For example, the story could have ended with the destruction of the ring and the downfall of Sauron. The mission would be complete and Middle-earth saved. Perhaps that's when many modern movies would end, at the point of greatest drama once the plot device driving the action has been dealt with. Or if not then perhaps when our heroes are reunited, Aragorn made king, and the hobbits finally receive the honour and acclamation they deserve. You'll remember they did this really well in the Return of the King film, the scene where Aragorn is crowned, Arwen arrives, and the hobbits are told that they bow to no one. It brings a tear to the eye even now. Or if not then perhaps it could have ended in the books once the hobbits have finished with the scouring of the Shire. Everyone is back home then, after all. Or perhaps after Frodo, Gandalf and the other ringbearers set sail in the White Ship to the west. But no, Tolkien keeps writing even after that, and only ends the book when Sam arrives back home to his family in Bag End. This is the final paragraph. He went on, and there was yellow light and fire within, and the evening meal was ready, and he was expected. And Rose drew him in, and set him in his chair, and put little Eleanor upon his lap. He drew a deep breath. "Well, I'm back," he said. Final words to warm your heart, to be sure, but why was it important to Tolkien to end there and not at any of the other points? Well, I think our starting point here is to understand Tolkien's approach to stories, particularly this story, and to acknowledge that as a professor of English language and literature, he understood how stories work at a technical level, as well as just as a storyteller. It was a deliberate decision on his part to end the story when he did. We'll get on to why it had to be when Sam returned home in a bit, but let's first just briefly consider why each of the other potential endings are there and aren't the actual ending. First, the destruction of the ring itself and Sauron's fall. Why not then? Clearly this needed to happen in order for the story to end, but there are lots of reasons why it went on for a bit longer, not least finishing off the other major plot lines. We can't have this part of the book called The Return of the King without seeing Aragorn actually becoming king, or marry Arwen after setting up all the foreshadowing and echoes of Beren and Lúthien, one of the previous elf-human romances from back in the First Age of Middle-earth. Which actually brings us to one of the most important things that Tolkien was doing with The Lord of the Rings. He wasn't just writing a standalone novel, he was creating an offshoot of his wider legendarium. The themes and hopes and struggles that we see in The Lord of the Rings are extensions of the themes, hopes and struggles in the wider history of his world. Put simply, the destruction of Sauron was not something that happened in isolation from everything else. You can trace its origins back to Sauron's defeat to the last alliance of elves and men, and what Isildur did with the One Ring, and further still to the forging of the rings partway through the Second Age, or further still to the creation of Morgoth's ring, or, well, you get the idea. Tolkien skillfully wrote a story that is accessible without knowing any of this background, but when you do know the background, it adds so many layers. The File of Galadriel, for example, is a cool magical light in a bottle to most casual readers, but to those who dig a bit deeper, it is so much more. Which is why the story had to go at least as far as the White Ship sailing west, not just to see Frodo leave, but also Elrond, Gandalf and Galadriel, the bearers of the three elven rings whose lives were so entwined with the history of Middle-earth. Their work and character arcs would not be complete until they had each chosen to take that ship. Perhaps this is why most of those who say that there are too many endings to The Return of the King are film-only people or aren't really up to speed with the Silmarillion, which is not a judgment in any way. Everyone is welcome to engage with Tolkien as much or as little as they want, but of course the more you know about Galadriel's millennia-long character arc, say, the more you will appreciate the significance of her taking that ship to Valinor. that bit won't mean much to the casual fan. But probably the most misunderstood of the endings chapters is The Scouring of the Shire. It is in some ways standalone, and the Peter Jackson films excluded it without many people complaining, but it has some ardent admirers. George R. R. Martin, for example, says about it, "The Scouring of the Shire, brilliant piece of work, which I didn't understand when I was 13 years old. Why is this here? The story's over. But every time I read it, I understand the brilliance of that segment more and more." The Scouring of the Shire is when the hobbits return home and, without help from Gandalf or anyone else, defeat Saruman and the ruffians who have taken control of the Shire and turned it into a ghastly pseudo-industrial wasteland. They then set out to restore the land, which is scarred by the experience, and it emerges perhaps even more beautiful for it. Despite Tolkien's protestations that this is not an allegory, it is hard not to see a reflection of his love for nature and distaste for industrialization here. But from a story point of view, it achieves a few really important things. It fulfills the classic there-and-back-again structure of coming back to where it all started, gives our heroes a chance to show how they have grown, metaphorically and physically, for Merry and Pippin, and can take the initiative themselves. And perhaps most importantly, it shows us the real-life stakes of this whole story. Not just epic battles with kings and wizards, dark lords and fell beasts, but the fate of friends and homes and rural tranquility. It made it all real. This is not just a story of a mission that has to be completed. It's about a world and characters and themes. The true ending of the story has to be with the resolution of all its themes and subplots. Why end it with Sam? Well, this is where we come back to Tolkien's understanding of literature and storytelling. Because in classical storytelling, as well as in more modern understandings of the hero's journey, the story only finishes when the hero returns home at the end of all things. And crucially, the hero in this context is not necessarily the chief protagonist in the story. The protagonist is the character whose actions and decisions drive the plot forward. The hero is the one we are really rooting for. And for most readers, that is Sam. Even more importantly, Tolkien agreed. In his 1951 letter to Milton Waldman, his publisher, he writes that, "I think the simple rustic love of Sam and his Rosie, nowhere elaborated, is absolutely essential to the study of his, the chief hero's, character, and to the theme of the relation of ordinary life." So Sam is the chief hero of The Lord of the Rings, and his relationship with Rosie is absolutely essential to understanding the theme of ordinary life. When Sam returns home and is welcomed by Rosie and she puts their daughter on his knee, it is ending the story with ordinary life once more. The adventure is over. The next phase of life can begin. In classical story structure, the story only ends when the hero returns home and all is well again. Not the same as it was, but all has been resolved. The ring has been destroyed, Aragorn crowned, the Shire restored, and Frodo, the main protagonist, at peace. And how better to show that all is well now than with Sam, our chief hero, back home in the warmth of Bag End and the embrace of his family. And that's why we have the ending that we do. And that is why it is so satisfying. If you'd like to see more videos diving deep into the lore and literature of Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the playlist on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, the best way to do that is to click on the link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.